This is ridiculous.
Bottom line is, he's the president of the United States. He probably has other things that's on his mind.
I want to know what book he's reading, and I want to know what he's saying. Why an ass guy? Because I want my America back.
Set us straight, Roland Martin.
From our New York City CNN studio.
For two more days.
Roland Martin.
Tom Joyner, man. Glad to be here. Last night, I dropped by the Schomburg Center for the Free Angela Davis documentary screening. Fantastic. Jada Pinkett Smith in the house. Will Smith, Common, Melanie Fiona, Mary Baraka, Harry Belafonte, Ruby Dee, Sonia Sanchez, Melvin Van Peebles, Vondi Curtis Hall, Casey Lemons. Man, the place was on fire with folks. And so they all certainly said hello.
Yeah.
So, folks, it debuts April 5th. Select theaters. So check the site, the website, for if it's going to be in your city. Tonight, National Action Network will have their gala dinner honoring among the folks, Bishop T.D. Jakes, Spike Lee. But the keynote, folks, person giving the speech tonight, the keynote will be the Attorney General, Eric Holder, who joins us right now. Mr. A.G., how you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Good morning. How you all doing?
Doing great. You, of course, the top law enforcement official in the United States. And tonight's speech, clearly, I suspect voter suppression and the respect of the vote will be one of the critical issues you will address.
Yeah. I mean, there's actually three parts to the speech. I'm going to talk about voting and the recent efforts to suppress the vote. I'm going to talk about gun violence and the efforts that the administration has underway to try to deal with that problem. And then also talk more broadly about the criminal justice system and where we are as a nation and I think where we need to be, especially in light of the fact that today is the 45th anniversary of the death of Dr. King, and kind of look at where we were at that time and where we need to be in the 21st century.
When you talk about the prison system, one of the things that's quite interesting is that I was talking to a civil rights leader who said that they've actually gotten more support, interestingly, on the state level from Republican governors on sentencing reform than they have from Democratic governors. And sentencing reform is a critical issue because folks are realizing you just can't keep locking folks up. The cost is tremendous, and I think that's going to somehow solve a lot of our problems in this country.
No, I think that's right. There is a growing recognition, certainly I've seen it among Republicans and Democrats, that we can't incarcerate our way out of the problems that we face as a nation in terms of cost. The last study I saw was about 2009. It shows that about $83 billion was spent in this nation on our criminal justice system, on our prison system. And if you look at the numbers, you have 1 in 28 children has a parent in prison. But if you look at African-American kids, that number is 1 in 9. And we have to deal with underlying conditions that tend to breed crime as opposed to simply putting people in jail all the time. That simply doesn't work. Just doesn't work.
So much of this conversation as it relates to gun control, folks talking about banning assault weapons and things along those lines. But we have 70% of the deaths in this country due to handguns. Is the conversation too narrow in terms of just, pass this law all as well, when it should be a much broader discussion on gun violence that involves different pieces, mental illness, background checks, as well as just dealing with handguns that really speaks to the problem?
Well, the president has put together a proposal that really is comprehensive in nature. We have some specific things that we want Congress to look at, that is to deal with the gun show loophole, to have a universal background check system so that anybody who buys a gun, whether it's an assault rifle or a handgun, has to go through a background check. We also look at this whole question of mental illness, and we're making sure that the right people are, in fact, possessing guns. And, you know, a lot of stuff is thrown up at us that what the president has proposed is in tension with the Second Amendment. And it's clear from my perspective as a lawyer, and I think most disinterested people would agree, that the proposals that we have made do not infringe upon anybody's Second Amendment rights by saying, you know, you got to go through a background check, that you can't have these high-capacity magazines. These are just common-sense safety measures that we as a nation, I think, need to embrace.
Will we, though, see legislation being passed? Because you have all the back and forth, and you have folks who from Sandy Hook, from other places, who say, you know what, have we lost the political courage and lost that window of opportunity to make something a reality?
Well, you know, that's something that really gets me. I mean, a window of opportunity. Sandy Hook happened on December the 14th. We're now at the beginning of April. Has our attention span as a nation diminished that much so that, you know, 3.5 months or so, 4 months after that incident. We've already said that we've moved on to the next thing. When what we're talking about are, you know, something that it was the worst day of my professional life when I went up to Sandy Hook and went into that elementary school and saw the remnant of that incident and saw, you know, the blood-spattered carpet, the blood-spattered wall, saw the pictures of those poor little angels. No, we have not missed a window of opportunity. This president has been out there from that day trying to make sure that we reform our gun laws in a way that is consistent with our constitutional rights and make sure that we take us to a different place so that we protect, especially protect, children of this nation.
Have to ask, you're speaking tonight. Look, you're sticking around, but how long are you sticking around? You're going to stay around for all 4 years?
Well, I don't know. We'll see. You know,
Come on, man. Come on. Come on.
We need you.
I got to ask.
Come on, Mr. Attorney General, please.
So, well, I'm happy. I'm still enjoying what I'm doing. There's still work to be done. I'm still a president's wingman, so I'm there with my boy.
Yeah.
And so, we'll see.
And nobody fights like you against those that fight you every day, Mr. Attorney General, every day.
I know it's a tough fight.
Well, you know, it's tough, but, you know, when you understand what the stakes are and what the opportunity is that we have, I can deal with, you know, all the nonsense. I can deal with whatever they throw at me. I grew up tough in New York City, you know, so this is, you know, if this is the best they got in Washington, I'm ready for it.
You're going to take a salary cut?
I'm not sure I'm ready for that.
Like the president did.
I'll say this. What the president did, I think, is right, given the fact that some federal employees may have to be furloughed, which means a pay cut.
Yeah,
and if that happens in the Justice Department, that is certainly something that I would consider. But we're working to try to make sure that our workforce does not have to be furloughed. Though I will say.
Go ahead. Is he still there?
Yeah.
I'm still here.
All right, Mr. Attorney General, we certainly appreciate it, sir. Thank you so very much. AG Eric Holder, folks.
My man.
He's still there.
I ain't saying all that.